Welcome to Big Game Hunger, a show where me and a guest craft the big next game every episode. We'll be taking three random ingredients and blending them together into one incredible game. I'm Jenna Stieber, and I crave content, and I'm joined by Grant Howitt. Grant, who are you, and what do you have a hunger for?
Hello, I'm Grant Howitt. As you said, I am a game designer from the UK, which is why I sound like this, and I have a hunger for scones. I've struggled with sadness and depression and mental illness throughout my entire life. But one thing I've managed to cling to is my next scone. Do you have those in America?
Yeah, but they're not as good as the ones.
Do you call them biscuits or something?
And we call them scones, although they are very similar to biscuits. The scones I've had in the UK bridge the gap between a scone and a biscuit.
One of my favorite things is saying that scones and biscuits are the same, just to wind up Yanks. I think that's very funny. I know what a biscuit is. In your parlance, I'm partial to biscuits and grits or what have you of a morning when I'm in the States. But yeah, you get a scone. You maybe get some sultanas in there. You get some clotted cream. You get some salted butter. You get some strawberry jam. Three cigarettes, half a cup of gin, sorted, perfect.
You eat a scone. You use a scone for an ashtray. It's the UK way. I'll say the scones that I've had in America are not worth swinging to vine like Tarzan trying to maintain your grip on sanity. The scones I had in the UK absolutely are. They are incredible. Yeah, just kind of infuriatingly good.
They're like life preservers. You know, there's a sort of floaty rings you get that throw you in the water. It's like that. And then it's like once or twice, like a week, like once or twice a fortnight. Which is 2 weeks for your American listeners. I'll have to punch through the darkness and get me a scone, because otherwise life isn't worth living.
We have the word Fortnite in America. It's a famous video game.
Well, they use it for that game. They use it for that PlayerUnknown's Battleground variant. I've seen it.
It's true, Grant. What do you do?
I am a games designer. I design, but TTRPGs. I do tabletop role playing games. My ones you might, the one that your listeners might have heard of, I think the most famous one that I've done is called Honey Heist, which is a game where you play a criminal bear and you have two stats, criminal and bear, and you have to steal as much honey as physically possible from a honey convention called HoneyCon. It's very silly, but it resonated somehow with the audience, and Critical Role played it. And when Critical Role do anything with any of your work, it's like a benediction from the fucking Pope. It just elevates you. And so, like, part of the reason why we are able to run this as a business now, and I'm able to do things like write proper books that are like 300 pages long rather than one page about bears, is because Critical Role decided on a whim to be bears a couple of times. But yes, I do that. We set up a business called Rowan, Rook and Deckard, which is made up of old character names from the founders. No one can spell it right, not even us.
I'll put a link in the description so no one has to try to spell it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, and we publish things. If you go to the link in the description, you can get like 85 free games, and some of them are all right.
I like that you have to navigate it yourself. It's like going thrifting, but with TTRPGs. We just gotta try it.
Yeah,
they're free. What are you complaining about?
It's free.
The first game of Grant Howitt's you have to play is to go through all of Grant Howitt's games and find the ones that really resonate with you.
Listen, if you have any problems with my free role-playing games, drop me a complaint and I'll give you back all the money you paid.
Do you prefer doing massive 300-page tome lore books, or do you, like, is there a middle ground that you like between the one-pagers and the 300, or do you have a preference?
Oh, I mean, we do all sorts of stuff. I quite like a shorter book. So we just put out a book called Eat the Reich. Well, we're just about to put out a book called Eat the Reich, which is about vampires eating Nazis. And we went all out on the production and all out on the art. And because it was a shorter book, I think it's about 80 pages, I was able to team up with an artist called Will Kirkby. So he's done stuff for Critical Role in the past. And he's done some comics and various things. Very good. And he was able to draw every illustration and lay out every spread. And so it's really sort of luxurious and rich. And you simply couldn't do that with a 300-page book without going bankrupt. I feel like the one-page games are an absolutely fundamental outlet for the sort of whimpering indoor dog kind of psyche that I have. And I need to let the dog go and run around outside for a bit and write a game about... Well, like, the game I released yesterday was called The Rapid and the Righteous 2.
Yeah!
And it's a Fast and Furious game, but instead of dice, you have those little cars that you pull back and they shoot off when you let go. And
incredible.
So they have to land on bits of paper that say Fast, Furious, or Family, and that's a resolution mechanic. And at the same time as that, I'm writing work with Chris Taylor. I'm writing a 340-page game about toxic masculinity and the death of the empire, communicated through Bloodborne-style boss fights.
Ooh.
So it's very exciting, but also a lot of work. So I think it's important. I like having both. I like having lots of different things to do.
I like that as a strategy, because I think especially if you're any sort of writer, it can be really, you can really easily get bogged down on longer projects that take a lot of more time, but have fewer of that dopamine hit of being like, aha, done it, did it,
yeah,
I made
yeah.
it, completed a project.
I mean, the sort of thing I see with an awful lot of like young or new TTRPG designers is they'll be like, I've been working on this game for 15 years. What do I do? So we should have released it 13 years ago. Because it's going to suck no matter what you've done to it. There's no way this can be any good. Whenever anyone asks me for advice, like the most important thing I think that any designer can do is release a lot of bad games quickly.
Yeah.
And then at least people know who you are for when you get good.
You've got a body of work to back you up.
Absolutely,
a fascinating, I don't think this is an actual study that somebody did, but it's a metaphor that they had about making pottery on a wheel.
Mm.
And it was like, here, if you take a class and you divide them into two groups and you tell one class that they will be graded on one perfect vase, like you have to make what you'll get one vase to submit and your entire grade for the semester will be based on that. And you tell the second group, you will be graded based on how many pots you make. So you can make shitty pots, just make a ton of pots. If you did that, the group that had to make tons and tons and tons of pots will be significantly better potters because they will have tried and failed so many times that they will just naturally be better than somebody who is instantly already focused on perfection. And I think that
absolutely.
Is, you're doing the TTRPG version of that.
Shitty pots.
Shitty pots. Everybody needs to be making shitty pots. Yes. Are you ready to get some prompts? Some
Born
random
ready.
Prompts from the ingredient list. Let me roll my dice. Okay. So our adjective is, it comes from one of our Patreon subscribers, Longtone. Longtone, thank you for this recommendation.
Thank you, Longtone.
The adjective is ocean exploration, which I think is a really good one. A lot to work with there.
It's also a noun.
Yes,
I mean,
you're right.
You're right.
You're right. It should be ocean exploration-y.
Thanks. Thank you. Yeah.
Is that a better thing to hear and listen to? our second one also comes from Patreon. We're hitting all the Patreon requests today. And as a reminder, if you're listening to this, you can sign up at patreon.com/thejenna. And every month I post a sheet for you to add any prompts that you want to add to the spreadsheet. So if there's something that you want to hear on the show, you can do that by subscribing to Patreon. Anyway, the premise comes from Alice from Patreon, and it is last day at camp.
Okay.
Last day at ocean camp. Okay. And our type of gameplay. Our type of gameplay comes from a former guest, Brent Naylor. Thank you, Brent. And it is a LucasArts point and click game. Do you play? Have you ever played any LucasArts point and click games?
I did in my youth. I must say that I never had the patience for them. But I definitely know what they are.
Okay, good.
I think I went, what was it? There was an Agatha Christie point and click game I played. It was
really?
some sort of mansion affair. And I remember they had this big sack of flour, and you had to get the scoop and use the scoop on the flour. And then the first time we did it, it was like, oh, there's nothing in here aside from flour. And then when you did it a second time, you got batteries out of the flour, and I uninstalled the game. was like, absolutely not. I don't know what you're going for with this game design.
Beloved reference to an Agatha Christie novel, and if you read all the Agatha Christie novels as a child, you would know
the mystery of the flowery batteries.
Yeah, I mean, is it not a mystery? Are you not perplexed about how that happened?
Oh, I would have been thrilled if the batteries came out the first time I used Scoop on Flower.
Yeah, because that would have been better game design.
I mean, I guess maybe it's like drying out an iPhone by keeping it in rice.
Oh yeah,
recharging batteries by putting them in flour. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that in the Agatha Christie book that it's pulled from, it's so that they can deep fry the batteries and they get really crispy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, well, you don't want to sog down, otherwise that could be dangerous.
So LucasArts point and click kind of implies a video game, but I want to put this out here: we don't have to do a video game. We've never had to do a video game on this show. It just usually ends up being that way.
I feel like a LucasArts point and click game.
Yeah,
there's almost no game mechanics there. I don't know what, like, it's just going to be a story we tell about clicking on objects. I guess, like, you've got to, like, convince a goat to go and do stuff. We can do that. Like, it's easy, right? We just need to come up with the fiction, and maybe we can come up with a way of adding some mechanics into point and click games.
Yeah, maybe. I think that
maybe
the concept
we can
of...
fix point and click.
Finally, somebody needs to. I think the thing with point and click games is that they're like the best versions of the point and click game are logic puzzles. Mm-hmm. The worst are logic puzzles that don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And double scooping flour to find a battery counts as that.
So we can get logic puzzles, and I think, like, there's something fun about here is a bunch of objects, and so your, like, your nouns and your verbs and playing together with those could be interesting. How to use goat on boat or what have you.
You just pitched a Dr. Seuss point and click game, goats on a boat.
I'm interested in bearing down on the combination of ocean exploration, and Last Day of Camp, and I'm imagining like Camp Catamaran.
Okay,
like this is some sort of water world style summer camp, which takes place maybe 5 hours sail out into the Atlantic Ocean. Is it post-apocalyptic? I don't know whether it's post-apocalyptic.
Well, that was going to be my question, because Waterworld implies it's post-apocalyptic, but it does, I mean...
I was thinking more in terms of jet ski prevalence, so we could just do, like, Florida or something. Florida's already kind of post-apocalyptic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now more so than ever, especially if you're a trans person.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah!
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Florida's real bad.
They said you shit in the bushes, don't they? Yeah, terrible. All right.
I love the idea of being, like, 5 hours off into the ocean, because I think at a certain point you hit international waters. And what does that imply for a camp? Why would you have to have a camp in international waters?
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah?
It's Burning Man. It's multiple competing Burning Men in international waters. And you wake up on the last day of camp in one of the lesser vassal states. You've been arrested. Taken. And put in one of these many floating brigs. And so it's about you. You've got no memory, and you have to learn all about the culture of this particular Burning Man and the various other piratical Burning Men that are at war with them to escape.
Okay.
Or
okay.
To take over?
Oh.
Or just to have a nice time? I don't know. I don't know. Could you have a nice time at a party if you've been press ganged?
At Burning Man, probably. I don't know about modern Burning Man, but I think you could just go and have a good time.
Oh, no. So, I don't mean modern current Burning Man. I mean Burning
Old
Man
school.
In international water 5 miles out on a catamaran.
Burning Man before it becomes... Wet Man! All right, well, I'm writing down Wet Man.
Wet Man Adventure.
Okay. There's so much you just said that I love. I love the idea of camp, not just as like summer camp, but as like a camping festival that you're going on. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of a bunch of decommissioned oil rigs that have become vassal states. Because there is a country. I'm going to use these air quotes. Sealand, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank God. I was never going to remember the name of that, so I'm glad you did. Sealand, for the listeners, is a decommissioned oil rig that some people moved on to and declared it a country. And
it still is, legally.
Some jurisdictions, yeah. Somewhat recognized kind of as a country. It's super fascinating. I'd recommend reading about it. But that's sort of what I'm imagining, just a bunch of sea lands.
I'd like to capitalize on something. The global pandemic was obviously a great stress for everyone, but it really did free up a lot of prime cruise ship real estate.
Yes. Okay.
And I love pictures of abandoned cruise ships. And what if we could set a game on lots of them?
Here's my pitch, both of them. I think it should be a combination of derelict oil rigs, abandoned ghost yachts. I think we could mix up the settings for this so that you get a little bit of variety.
Yeah, absolutely. Like maybe you start on the oil rig, and then and then you have to like power up this rotting cruise ship to get it to go to the.
I think there should be a flotilla of jet skiers.
Absolutely, yeah. And they are selling shots.
Yeah.
It does
shots
offer
of what?
Fresh water. It doesn't offer. No. Like vodka Red Bull. I figure it doesn't operate on Burning Man rules. So like there's currency, and they probably just use the dollar to be easier.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know, some sort of fun South American currency. No, dollars feel like a neat interchangeable currency to have anywhere.
Yeah,
but I like roving jet skis. I love the idea of an oil rig which has been abandoned for at least 20 years and has like gotten more and more. I'm gonna say it's gonna look more and more like it's out of a Far Cry game. It's going to get more and more Ubisoft shit like stapled to it, and like fairy lights and things you can climb and radio masts.
Highly corroded, very poor attempts at stalling the inevitable destruction of this oil rig that you may or may not
bunch
cause.
Of cages with tigers in.
Whoa, sea tigers?
Well, I mean, they're land tigers, but now they're at sea, yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think there should be. Did you play Chance of Sinar that came out last year?
No, I've never even heard of that. What's that?
It was a game that where you were trying to figure out language of different cultures. Like you came to a culture and you didn't speak any of the language, and you were trying to like Obra Dinn style piece together logically what certain words mean. And it was a really good concept. I didn't super love the game itself, but I love that idea. And I love the idea of waking up on an oil rig and being like, there are laws and customs here I do not understand and that I'm going to run afoul of, and trying to piece that together nothing.
And that's kind of fun, because you get one of the frustrating things in any point and click game is when you're like, use crowbar and window. Oh, that doesn't work. Or what have you. I don't think so. But if you can have a guy in a suit and a life jacket say, according to the laws of Sealand 3, you can't use crowbars on windows, and then he sort of wanders off. So like all of the weird logic is enforced.
Yeah, I like that. That is the way in which the logic puzzles function, is that it is you have to figure out the laws and mores of it. Although I would point out, I think in most cultures it's not super legal to use crowbars on windows unless you own the window and the crowbar.
Things are different out at sea, Joe. This is international waters.
That's so true. That's so true.
Your mind.
Traditionally, a place where anything goes.
You're thinking like a landlubber.
You're right. Yeah. I'm beholden to my landlubbering. Mm-hmm. My landlub. My landlub is beholden me.
You'd be fed to the tigers by first tide. I suppose you get tides out in there. Do you get?
I think we'll reference them. We don't have to know stuff about the ocean. We're
absolutely
game designers.
Yeah. You can research the ocean for literally hours
and get nowhere. Yeah. I love this. I love the idea. Here's my pitch for the three worlds.
Please, please.
You think you start off on an oil rig. Mm-hmm. You have to befriend in some way the jet skiers because they're the one that are going to take you from place to place. They can take you from the oil rig to the abandoned yacht, or I think there should be like a deserted island that you can also, there's also a culture there that you can go and visit. Are there any other good ocean stuff?
So there's cruise ships.
Yeah.
And they're big enough that you can crash them and they can still function as a building, which is kind of fun.
That's it.
The only two things, big boats and oil rigs. And
all right,
islands.
Well then we nailed that.
Yeah.
We nailed the setting.
Cool. Oh, the enormous island of plastic.
Yeah.
Can we have a mysterious group of junkers who come in? Being like, got any spare Coke bottles, mister? And then they're rowing through on this skiff made out of plastic that's all tied together.
Yes, I love that. I think that's great. I think when you go there, you have to hand over any of the stuff you've gotten from the previous places as admittance. And that's how we'll clear the slate of things you can't use anymore.
Yeah. There's a seagull warlock who lives on there. And he can summon seagulls. Or he's actually more like a warlock. He's drawing power from his relationship with seagulls.
Okay, yeah. I don't see why not. That's a classic International Waters thing.
Yeah, and I like to imagine that you do whatever you need to finish the junk skiffman's quest. And he's like, here's this flute. If you ever need like 50 to 30 seagulls very quickly, blow on it, my boy. And that's one of the ways you can solve the final puzzle.
Yes.
They come in and, you know, they tear everything to shreds. That's a lot of animation, though. I don't know.
Well, okay,
probably up enough camera.
We'll rotoscope it. It'll be fine.
We'll just film 30 seagulls.
Yeah, 30 to 50 wild seagulls. It'll be fine. It'll be super easy.
Feral seagulls! Not like normal seagulls, which are sort of like, you know, quite staid and reserved. Now, these guys are feral.
Well, I mean, the ones we get will be actors, so they'll be acting feral, but.
Oh, hang on, are we paying union rates on this, or?
Ooh, we'll talk about that off air.
Okay, yeah.
No one can use it
We don't want to get bogged down.
Here's an element of this prompt that we need to address, which is it's not just camp, it's last day at camp. Now, what do you think that implies in this structure? Is it your last day? Are you trying to get out and get somewhere? Is it the last day for all of these camps?
I like the idea that the camps are collapsing. That like something's happened, which means that every situation you're in, it's 5 minutes to midnight.
Mm.
And so like that kind of goes against the standard sort of quite slow pace of a point and click game.
Yeah.
Which doesn't have, you know, timed puzzles or anything like that. Other option you've got is it's your last day of camp, and like it's also maybe your first day of camp, and you have to, maybe you're going to be sacrificed to the seagulls or something. We've got maybe the government's coming in to shut everything down.
Here's an idea. I don't think I've ever seen a roguelike point and click.
with good reason.
Yes, for good reason. That would be impossible. What if it was a time to point and click? Although I guess this is the thing with point and click games. They don't have a ton of replayability by definition because...
Well, this one would. It would be the first.
Yes. Maybe not.
Jenna, finally a use for AI. We can get those pesky writers and artists out of the way and algorithmically generate a fresh... Seaborn Golgotha every time you click play.
You think regular point and clicks are impossible? You think regular point and clicks have bad logic, Grant? You want to put this in the hands of AI?
Maybe that's why it's breaking.
Hey, Hey, let me tell you about a clothing store called Insert Coin. Insert Coin has been creating awesome and official video game clothing and accessories since 2010. And they've worked with a huge number of studios all around the world, from Kojima Productions to BioWare, Square Enix to RGG. They specialize in making in-game items a reality. So this isn't just your normal merch. This is like things that you would see in a game and be like, God, I wish I was wearing that. That's so cool. But they also have a great line of very subtle, very classy gear that only fellow gamers will recognize, delivering their official limited edition and exclusive gamer fashion all over the world from their HQ in the UK. Insert Coin really are committed to helping every gamer get their geek on. I highly recommend checking out the Yakuza line in particular. The jackets that they have are so crisp. And the Elden Ring selection is more casual wear, nothing directly from the game, but they've got an Iron Fist Alexander shirt that's like a tarot card, which is so cool. If you ever wanted that Super Monkey Ball shirt that just has a big A on it, you can get that. You can have that to rep in your wardrobe. Go to their website at insertcoinclothing.com and hey, use the code BGHIC for 10% off on orders, not including charity items, bundles, and some select products at launch, gift cards, and postage. One use per person, valid until June 30th, 2024. That's BGHIC, which stands for Big Game Hunger Insert Coin, not Big Hick.
Oh, Jenna, I've got it.
Yeah.
Better than Burning Man is, are you aware of the various crypto islands that tried to form?
Yes.
So who's going to have their entire country, cruise ship, oil rig run by an AI, but not like a showdown AI, like the sort of eight fingers on one hand can't do horses AI.
Ooh.
And the AI is crumbling.
Okay. I love the idea of a point and click where it's like three levels are point and click, and then you get to the final level, and it suddenly everything about the game changes because you can't rely on the regular rock solid logic that the first three levels will have that make total sense and are super straightforward and easy to understand. Mm. And the last one you have to figure out, that's the social mores or the laws. It doesn't have laws or social mores. It has insane AI logic. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out what broken things that the AI is pulling from. The AI is pulling from the other three islands. Mm. It's pulling from their laws, and it's using all of the rules that you've already discovered in those first three stages of this game to make the laws for the AI, but they're all warped around.
Could we? Now, traditionally, LucasArts games, especially like point and clicks, but especially LucasArts games, don't have that failure state. Right. You don't, like, you can't fuck up to the point where you can't continue. And also, there's not really, like, an optimal route or what have you. It's just like you click on this pixel here, it does the thing, you go through, you experience the story, and there might be sidelines and things you can get. Yeah. Do we want to introduce a kind of a branching story element where, depending on your choices on the islands or depending on how quickly you manage to do the thing, there's more of reality left at the end?
Oh, like, interesting.
Like, and I think that could, if we're using the cruise ship as the final level, the crypto cruise ship, which is like, maybe they spearheaded this sort of wet man collection.
And they let the AI drive the boat, which is why it's crashed. Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is on the day that finally, the American government have got their shit together. Biden's coming out and banning AI. He's coming out there in his helicopter, and he's gonna unplug the Ethernet cable himself once someone tells him what an Ethernet cable is. Okay. And so if you're trapped there when this whole thing shut down on this last day of camp, you're stuck in the ocean forever.
Oh,
with,
my God.
With nothing but a lunatic AI, and not in the fun system shock way, but more in a sort of like those weird pictures you get on Twitter of someone's hand, and there's a cat the size of a like tuppence coin. That sort of AI.
And I think there should be a special bonus ending where, depending on how chill you've been with the jet skiers, after the credits, a jet skier might pull up and be like, "Hey, you need a ride?"
Absolutely, yeah. That's if you don't steal the president's helicopter.
We're going to strand Joe Biden on a crash cruise ship.
Yeah, why not him? He's the president. They'll send another helicopter. He'll be fine.
That's true. That's true. They won't for you. They won't for you, but they will for Biden. That's actually true. Yeah.
So you either have to steal his helicopter or disguise yourself as Joe Biden.
And depending on what things you have at the end of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what tools you have.
Yeah. Yeah, if you search the flower for the Joe Biden disguise, then you'll get that. Okay. I wanna come down to the game mechanics a little bit. So like we've talked about the overall plot, and I think we've got the plot sketched out where you're visiting you're amnesiac or you're inexperienced and you're visiting a series of locations with unusual social mores and the gag and we get to use this to tell jokes about people and like, oh, this one can be crypto bros and this one can be rinsed out Burning Man deadheads and that sort of thing, and so we can sort of take the piss out of whichever culture we want. I like to think that there's an awful lot of what's the word, himbo on the jet ski?
Yeah. Is that yes.
That sort of thing. And I've got to say, the jet skis, they're the good guys. In fact, the mermaids would be a great name for their gang. Hey,
yeah, I think.
You want to join the mermaids? Little protein shakes.
Good valley voice, valley accent. Yes, yeah. I love the idea on the oil rig, the first part of the oil rig. You're wandering around and people are like, watch out for the mermaids. You gotta keep an eye out for your mermaids. And the whole time you're like, mermaids, literal? What's up? Am I gonna see some mermaids? But then you
keep
do it, it's just against
you.
Keep
an eye out for the merfolk. They're scurrying around in the shallows.
They'll try to lure you on their ships.
With
Don't
their
go.
Potent songs.
And their sexual energy. And you see them and they're just a bunch of bibs.
I'm just doing shots off their cum guns.
Yeah, it's just a legion of himbos and bimbos being like, hey, you need a ride? This place sucks. Love it.
We're going to that floating island made out of water cooler bottles. Do you want to come with? Okay. We've got the overall scheme. I love them. Like, it's a great Deus Ex Machina, and I think if there's one thing which Point and Click's like is completely just ejecting you from one part of the story onto the next. So fine, cool. We've got the merfolk as the sort of connective tissue as you go through. That's what we can get some repeating NPCs. What I'm interested in checking into: do we have verbs? Is it all noun based? Do we just have the standard go to, look at, talk to? Or is there, like, could we be the first Point and Click to have jostle as a verb? could we have lie as a verb? And then just lets you converse in a different way. And it's riskier, but maybe you get more. What sort of verbs do we think factor in to Wet Man?
So the traditional LucasArts Point and Click is usually like, it's like a picture of a crowbar, and you have to know that that's a crowbar, and sometimes that's very difficult. But the Obra Dinn, more modern style that we're seeing like becoming more prevalent now, is like click and dragging words into place. What if we kind of did a combination of the two, and it's sort of like a discussion based, it's like you're trying to have conversations with people, and it'll be like, I blank this blank, and you have to pull in the words. So we could give you things like lie. So it's like you have a pop-up when you're talking to somebody, and you have like, and it's like a narrator voice, I lie to them, or I blank to them.
I really like what I want to do is recreate the experience of talking to someone at a rave at about 3:30 in the morning where like neither of you are really conscious, but you're having a lovely time and you just want to sit down. You're a bit tired. You're like, I'm gonna, And so a lot of NPCs are approaching you in that kind of like, they're just goosed off whatever drugs they're on. Cause this is Burning Man.
This is Burning Man.
And I think that also gives us a really nice idea for the sort of pace of Point and Click conversations. So you go up and you're like, oh, hey, man, I need to, and then you get kind of the words floating around your head. And so, like, one of them could be let me past. The ways you can fill the sentence, but things you can say. And then depending on what you've investigated, you can get different little bits which get in there. It's a bit like in, Harvester, the text adventure game.
Oh, no, I've never played it.
It's an FMV game. I've never played it. I know it looks terrible. It's an FMV game. It's very, very edgy. It's about this cannibal cult who are running out of this old-fashioned, like this deliberately sort of backwards 1950s-ass looking town.
Right.
It was shot for about $15 in 1995. And there's a bake sale coming up. And the bake sale is really important to everyone in the town, despite the fact that you've been abducted, you have no memory, you're getting forcibly married to a woman who you don't know, and clearly right. people are being minced down into sandwiches. But because it's a free text entry game, you can ask every NPC about the bake sale. And a lot of them were like, oh, well, we're preparing for your mother's been making some cookies and that sort of thing. And so I quite like unlocking something quite early on, which you can just keep asking people about. And there's no, it doesn't factor in. But I quite like the idea of, in addition to being a point and click, a lot of the fun of this game is recreating conversations with people who are just gone.
Zooted, yeah.
Yeah, suited. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, I love that. Because also another hallmark of the LucasArts point-and-click games is that they're very funny. And so it's great. Just from like a comedy writing standpoint, I think it's great to give ourselves that release valve of being like, yeah, if you keep asking about the bake sale, then you keep getting joke options. And that is something you can do to entertain yourselves and for us to entertain ourselves.
Also, seeing as I finally get to write a computer game, we're going to spend so much money on barks because inevitably you're like, oh, I'm going to use crowbar on window. No. Oh, I'm going to use goat on window. No. Oh, I'm going to use window on window. No. I want 100 different recordings of the protagonist going like, ah, man.
Nah.
Nah. Oh, maybe next week.
Nah.
You know, like, yeah, precisely. Yeah, I want different noises.
One of my both favorite and least favorite things about Alan Wake 2 is that while you're doing caseboard stuff, which is very much almost like a point-and-click mechanic, you have pictures and you're putting them on a detective's insanity board.
Red string murder board. Yeah.
Yes, 100% literal red string murder board. And the main character has about a billion comments like, or that's not right. Ah, so close. And it's just like, it is galling every time one of them happens because it's like, let me play. But it's also really funny how many of them there are.
Great, perfect.
Yes, I love that vibe for this.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, it's like the badly aged scenes in Sherlock now where he's like,
yes,
and they
yes.
pop up and it has right that. It runs like that and you can sort of like piece a sentence together. But because you are, let's say you've been hit in the head, and everyone else is zooted, you're like, what you put in isn't necessarily exactly verbatim what comes out, but we can get away with that because of the vibes. It's a bit like I don't know, you'd be playing Dragon Age and you'd say, and you'd pick the option which is like, I don't think that's a good idea, and your character stares at the guy and says, fuck you. And so there's often quite a disconnect between the thing you choose and what your character says. But I think we can cover that. We're fine.
Yes. That is a feature. That is a feature of the game, not a bug. Mm. That is like a super intentional. Yes. Okay. I love that. I can't believe you have retroactively made Sherlock better by turning that into a game mechanic. It's really galling of you. All right, so yes, we have this visual mechanic where you can swipe through different options. That also from like a gameplay development is easier for us because then we can have some really, really complicated word options that just turn into fuck you because it's like, well, we're not going to have branching dialogue choices for every 800 word combination you can have here.
And I quite like the idea of being able to, what's this? You'd get coffee, right? And coffee makes you sharper. And
okay, yes, a sobriety mechanic,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and now in my experience, all coffee does is make me jumpy and makes me grind my teeth more. No matter what drug or alcohol, whatever, it doesn't actually sober you up. But here it does. Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe like bottled water or something because you're on the sea. But I quite like the idea of being able to unlock extra slots that you can put with to achieve this.
Wait, does coffee gives you extra slots? Because in my opinion, based on how I communicate when I'm suited, I think having like drinking booze would unlock extra slots, but not better or more words. So it would just be like, it would take me 8 more words to communicate nothing.
It just functions like a slot machine.
Yes. Okay, there should be a sobriety mechanic, and the farther you are on the zooted scale, the more random and weirder the actual words come out when you do
Maybe that's our class system.
Like a drunken master class system.
like at the start of the game, you wake up, and there's a mysterious voice. It's one of the mermaids, but you won't know that yet. And like, hey, bro, looks like you're in trouble. Listen, you want a little something? And then you can have some MDMA or a vodka Red Bull or cocaine or a big glass of red wine. And that sort of gives you, I don't know, like a 40 or something. And that gives you like your unique powers through the game.
This just became the cyberpunk game that cyberpunk games are too cowardly to be.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Here's a question. There should be an option that's like bottled water and it's a 100% sobriety run. Is that hard mode or easy mode?
I think it's easy but boring. because like at no point are you like talking to someone and you're like and like you say, hi there, I need the keys to the jet ski so I can go to the cruise ship. And what you say is, your forearms look majestic. Like that never happens. But so you can just progress through the game, but you don't get any of the fun relationship stuff. You don't get any of the fun side missions.
Okay.
You don't, you know, there's almost like an RNG element. And depending on which way you've gone, and we can maybe just have like uppers, downers, and hallucinogens, and maybe sort of go with that rather than trying to program the difference between red and white wine.
I think the implication is that some of them will be uppers and some will be downers. But I like the flavor, the aesthetic flavor of if you're doing the alcohol run, it's uppers until it's downers.
are we going to wuss out and go the GTA Chinatown Wars route and come up with fake names for our drugs, or just call them products, or are we going to use real street names for drugs? Because there's something mildly seedy about being able to have Class A drugs in a game.
I mean,
if they're called Zooters.
Yeah, that's tricky because, like, if we're making this for a mainstream audience and we don't want to get
I don't think that's what's happening here.
Okay, this is an itch only. This is an itch release. It just feels like...
It runs in your fucking browser.
Yes, a browser-based. I'm so here for that. This is a browser-based, very low-pixel game. And in that case, I think we can go as explicit as we want. But there is also something... I mean, I do always think it's really funny when you watch a show and it's like... these kids are getting messed up on Giggle Pig. That's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's the only one I could think of where they come up with insane drug names for things. So it's like, no, we don't have E in the game, but we do have Sarah. Here's my friend. We don't have Molly, but we do have Stacy. You want to take some Stacy with me and go to a rave?
Hey, you want to take half a button now and then we can have the other half a button in an hour if we're not feeling it?
I mean
we could do that to get around ESRB ratings, but I don't think we need to worry about it. I think it's compromising our crucial vision, but this does open up a really fascinating route because I think I've been pushing for quite a conflict heavy game. Which is like, well, because you know, Joe Biden's arriving to shut down Wetman at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to desperately escape from Wetman. But what if this is your last day at camp? You've had a terrible time up till now. You're trying to have the best day possible.
Ooh, okay. You're not here for a long time. You're here for a good time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And so, depending on what the character is, like at the start, they could say, "I just gotta get a kiss," or "or I gotta jump that jet ski through the ring of fire," or "I gotta try the lobster," or something. And so you could have your dreams or what have you, and then it becomes a much gentler experience. Although again, you are fucked up on a lot of drugs for the entirety of the game, unless you go the clean route. And I think that gives us some replayability value.
Yeah.
It gives us, it means that we could program less and then people could play it again.
Yeah, which I love. Yeah. I love the idea. Well, because this is another cornerstone of the LucasArts point and click style, which is that the settings and the problems are often quite surreal. Like the solutions for issues are often quite surreal. So I love the idea of you like, you have to ride this jet ski through this burning hoop and that will resolve a conflict, but it's also badass and I'm having a great time.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's like, if you do like the sobriety route, it's very easy. You just talk, you walk up to people and they're like, you're like, "I need to get to Plastic Island." And they're like, "Yeah, catch a jet ski. It's here at the dock. Here's a key to open the door." And you just go and you do it. It takes 2 minutes. It's super simple. But the worst ending.
But you don't have a very good time.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the game, it's super easy and it's super fast. It takes like 5 minutes to play the whole game on sobriety mode. And when you get to the end, you get a fun meter and it's just really low. It's just a really low meter.
You know what? There's one thing which bothers me about the modern media industrial complex and indeed games in general is they don't mention how much fun drugs are. It's always like, oh, the grim cost of drugs. Oh, the tearing apart
the war
families.
On
oh, they're physically.
Drugs.
Yeah, whatever. No, they're great. They are top draw, and you can have a lot of fun with them, even if you're not especially careful. And I feel that's what I want. That's what I want our Wetman game to underline.
Something that finally reflects that? Yeah.
A pro-drug game.
Not to reference Brooklyn Nine-Nine again, but one of my favorite jokes in the entire show is really, I think it's like season one, they meet a drug dealer who's like helping them, and he's like, this guy's a drug pusher, and the drug dealer is like, people really like drugs. I don't have to push anything. he's trying to get through to the cops like, this is not peer pressure. People love drugs. It's one of the funniest bits on the show.
They're fun.
they're a good time. Imbibe responsibly or not, depending on the gameplay experience you want to have.
There's no punishment for taking too many drugs in this game.
It's the ultimate power dream fantasy.
Absolutely.
Go fucking crazy.
And it's your last day. So no hangover.
Yeah.
The game stops.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I like the idea this is Wetman the Festival. It's a 2 week long festival and you have been putting off having a good time this whole time and now the pressure is on. You have been like a little baby this whole time. You've been sticking up to your normal schedule. You wake up at 8 a.m. You do yoga. You get a little work done on your laptop because it's a working vacation and then you like walk around and it's just like everybody here is like you're such a lamoid. You're such a wastoid. What are you doing? And so I think that's the energy you approach the first run. So if you come with the bottled water, everyone's like, it's you again.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to leave? Great, actually. Goodbye. Goodbye. But if you show up half a bottle of red wine deep, they're like, finally, party time.
I'm also thinking like, how good Burning Man would look in LucasArts style. I'd really love to see that sort of like MS Paint.
Yes.
Chonky pixelated graphics. And also it's on the sink.
Ooh, okay, yeah, what cool, is cool. Here's a really important question. So, like, the culminating event of Burning Man is one of my favorite iconography, because it is related to the Wicker Man, and that's what I've based my whole personality on, which is the burning of the man. What is the culminating event of Wet Man?
The wetting of the man?
That's my second favorite thing after the Wicker Man, which is a Wet Man.
It's not as dramatic to lower a large wicker man into the ocean.
It's almost hilariously anticlimactic.
It's hugely anticlimactic. You could maybe have, well, I mean, consider, if you've got buoyancy,
yeah,
you could have a wet man, like, you could release the tethers and he bursts up from underneath because he's full of the plastic from Plastic Island and then sort of bobs around.
Instead of destroying and turning a burning man into nothing, into ash, you are resurrecting the wet man. Resurrection of the wet man is the ultimate goal.
For another year. I think, or we could just steal the burning man element, and it's much safer because you're on, you know, you're 5 hours out into the Atlantic Ocean. But
no, I think it's way funnier to be like, the culminating event is releasing a buoyed wicker creation.
Just kicks up like fucking Aphrodite.
Yes, it does like a little dolphin leap from the momentum.
And lands on its side and flops around.
Everybody is wasted. They're having the best time. They're like, yeah, it was awesome.
Okay. Hang on. Obviously, it'd be very exciting to see a big wicker statue catch fire.
Yeah.
But I think no matter how drunk you are, if you saw an 80-foot statue of a man burst out of the Atlantic Ocean and flop on its side, I'd probably at least cheer.
I would be horrified. It would be so scary.
It's not a realistic man.
I don't care. If I had never seen that and I had no idea what to expect, and of course it will not be clear what Wet Man is through this whole experience, of course. If I had no idea and we're on the top of a ruined cruise ship, seeing a bunch of bubbles preceding this thing, rising from the ocean, I would be like, this is a sea monster. We're all gonna die. And then the bursting of a shape, it wouldn't be clear what it is at first. It would just be a horrifying lumpy shape.
It's been down there for 2 weeks. There's gonna be a lot of seaweed on it.
It's gonna be so gross.
A lot of like the whale blubber they stapled to it is gonna come off, so it's gonna look quite grotesque.
they've upholstered it with whale blubber.
it's a natural insulation substance, and it's buoyant.
Okay. All right. So they've given it whale blubber flesh, is what you're suggesting. And so it's partially decayed.
There's this fucking nightmarish Japanese legend about it's from what I can tell, it's like a bus-sized narwhal with arms and legs and the face of a man.
Whoa.
And it knocks around in Japan and it's hideous.
Oh, it's my like God.
Or something.
That's why they do so much whale fishing. They're like, we've got to get that thing out of here.
That's another whale strip. I like the idea of it. Well, okay. I just wanted to upset you, so I described some rotting whale flesh. I'd like to imagine this is probably sort of jolly and a bit crap, rather than being actively hideous. And it's full of eels. It's like whale fall. But it's just been running for 2 weeks, and so it's full of fucking hagfish.
And then we feast. We feast on whatever it has captured. It's basically a giant wicker fish trap that has been submerged. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. But natural, beautiful, eco-friendly. You've got salmon at the top that have been dead for 2 weeks. You probably don't get salmon out there. Tuna that have been dead for 2 weeks at the top.
Oh my God, yeah, because it's a trap, but we have let it just rot down there for the full 2 weeks of Wet Man.
We're busy! Mac DeMarco was playing!
Oh Christ, oh, this is really good. Is the name of this game Wet Man?
It's the name I've been using. I feel it's a bit of a bait and switch because this is like a tremendous transcendental reinvention of the point-and-click genre for today's Gen Z. And I'm concerned that calling it Wet Man... but that's what it's called, isn't it?
I think that's it's what name. It's called. This is the thing. It's also a tribute to LucasArts point-and-click games, which are typically very irreverent. And I think Wet Man captures a sort of... goofy, self-aware irreverence. That is kind of the tone that we're going for.
Can we get like a subtitle or a slug line on there so we can get a little bit, like we can talk about the Last Day of Camp vibe?
Okay. Yes, it could be Wet Man Last Day at Camp, but I don't think that's very strong. Wet Man Final Days.
Wet Man Dawn of the Final Day. Dawn of the Wet Man.
There's something so...
Wet Man, thoroughly zooted.
That's double irreverent. That's not getting done what we want done.
No, that's true.
I do like the idea of the pompousness of, like, the last day or the final day combined with the irreverence of Wet Man. I mean, Dawn of the Final Day of Wet Man is a little bit laborious.
Wet Man, : Final Dawn. Final Dawn sounds like a downloadable shooter.
I was gonna say the last of Wet Man.
The remains of the Wet Man.
The remains of the Wet Man.
No.
You don't like that.
I hate to break improv, but I'm not gonna call it the remains of the Wet Man. That's not what it's about. No, you know what? I'm really sorry. I broke improv rules. The name of the game is The Remains of the Wet Man.
That's terrible.
No, we're here. No. We're here by LucasArts. All that's left of this big wet man.
Wet man remains. Wet man's remains. You have to help me. I don't know what to do anymore.
No, we're sorted. It's Wet Man, : Wettest Man. I don't know. I think we've lost our way. Okay, let's come back. Let's come back. It has to be Wet Man. Wet Man, like an ocean adventure. Wet Man, more drugs than you can eat. Wet Man, : fun.
You're getting more irreverent, and I appreciate that's
your natural.
Okay, no, you're right. Wet Man, fun. Is that what we're putting in this HIO title, Grant? Wet Man, fun.
You know what? Let's get rid of the colon and two of the funs and call it Wet Man Fun.
Wet Man Fun.
Because I've been on Itch.io, and that's the sort of thing they're into.
That's true. Itch.io is the best way to find sexy games that don't bum you out, which is what Steam specializes in.
How about Wet Man, The Chronicles of Something? And that's got your irreverence there, but we can work out what the something is.
Okay, you're not pitching exactly Wet Man Chronicles of Something. Okay. That's more irreverent. Wet Man, I mean, Chronicles of Fun... Ugh, that's terrible.
Wet Man Chronicles.
You can't. You already used your veto. I'm going to use my veto on Wet Man Chronicles. In improv, you always get one veto, and people don't use them.
Is that the rule of improv?
No,
we didn't learn that. We didn't learn. Okay. Wet Man the Party Chronicles.
Wet Man the Party Chronicles is not bad. Do we need to? Should it be Wet Man or should it be Wedding Man? Because it's not Burn Man.
That sounds like a pee game. Drowning Man?
Drowning Man.
Drowning Man's a thing, right? Did Punch Drunk do that?
Is that a real game?
Drowning Man, it's a U2 song.
It's a punk rock band.
No, we're good.
Drowning Man is good because that's less irreverent, which I know you hate. I know you love very serious things and titles.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like Drowning Man.
Mm-hmm. Drowning Man works. I think we can use Drowning Man.
No, colon needed. This is not a peeing game.
Unlike... That would be a pooing game. I think that what's quite nice about this is it sounds like the Obra Dinn. And you're going to see the cover, see Drowning Man, and be like, oh, man, a serious dark game. Maybe this is going to tell me how bad drugs are. Bad news, motherfucker. It's an irreverent Leisure Suit Larry style point and click.
I love the idea that we have a bait and switch where the cover of the game and all the key art does look like an Oberdin ripoff.
It looks like an Amnesia Machine for pigs.
Yes! Yes!
And then you take the Molly and you're like, oh, wow!
And the color palette of the game will change depending on what your chosen drug is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Perfect.
Christ. Grant, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to plug my website again. And to, if you can't spell our hard to spell names, you can go to rrdgames.com and download everything on there for free. You can also pay for some stuff, which is great because that means I get to like have food and stuff. So I would recommend you go on there and have a look. The one thing I would recommend to your listeners is a game called Hollows. We just put out the quick start for that, and Hollows is our brand new upcoming game about we're trying to make boss fights fun. I think I mentioned this briefly earlier in the show, but you know how you lock on in computer games?
Yeah,
I think we've got that for TTRPGs.
Interesting.
I think we've managed to do that. Ooh. On the tactical grid, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
So there's a free quick start to download now. All we ask is your email. Because so we can bother you about it when the main game comes out. But please go take a look. I guarantee you'll find something interesting.
Ah, that's true. Guaranteed to be interesting. Almost always guaranteed to be a good time as well, but definitely interesting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Big Game Hunger is a part of the Multitude Collective of podcasts created and hosted by Jenna Stever, that's me. To support this show directly, as I mentioned earlier, subscribe at patreon.com/thedinna. Every month, subscribers can submit prompts that get added to the ingredient list and help us create games like what you heard today, like Drowning Man. I fucked up. Drowning Man.
So close.
I fucked up the name of our own game.
Oh my god. We gotta get Burning Man's lawyers on the phone.
No! They probably have really good lawyers because that's the vibe of Burning Man now. And if you're enjoying it, please spread the word so other people can enjoy it as well. Or consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That would be a cool thing for you to do. Grant, I'm not going to ask you what's a word, adjective, gameplay type, or premise that you want added to the ingredient list, because you sent me about 30 incredible prompts.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. And I didn't realize if that was something I had to do beforehand or afterwards. So I came up with some. Are there any that you'd like to share with the class now?
Oh my god, they're all incredible. And I'm really excited about jump scaring the audience with another Grant Howard prompt. But let me pick out one.
We can sacrifice one on the altar of content.
I really liked, this is such a good one and such a good prompt for a game. Mundane sport made into a futuristic death sport.
My idea was snooker. I really like the idea of death snooker, but it looks like Mad Max and there's laser guns.
It's already such a good premise, and I'm excited to roll that up on the ingredient list. So I'm adding all of these to the list, and the audience is just going to have to be surprised about what those are. Thank you for joining me, Grant.
Thank you for having me. It's been delightful.
Thank you, audience, for listening to Big Game Hunger. And don't forget to wishlist Drowning Man on itch. It's not going to be available on Steam. Release date, TBD.